Yo, dude, we're back with another fucking episode of The Last Storm. My name is Mark. I'm back with Dave, and we're here to talk about the game, the Thunder versus the Hawks. This game was a special game. We did not come up with a W, but you know what we did come out with? A big, big J-Dub game. Amazing. Immersion, bro. He emerged from the rookie class to say, I am more than a rookie. I'm a motherfucking baller.
I mean, you could look at his 24 points, his 2 assists, his 5 rebounds, 1 offensive, his 3-point shot he hit, or his 11 for 16 on field goals. But for me, it's his defense that stands out.
That D.
Let's just talk about his defense. It's the lockdown idea of his massively long fucking arms and the idea that he can shut down anybody at any point. And that 4 steals that he had,
yeah.
I mean, it's mind-boggling, bro, that here's a rookie doing these type of stats right now, and everybody is sitting there saying, how good could this rookie be? I mean, he's already climbed up to number 3 in the draft class for the redraft right now. How far can this guy go? Because I'll be honest with you, if I'm looking at it, I'm saying at this point there is no bigger steal in the NBA draft than J-Dub at number 12 because of what he's been able to accomplish.
Yo,
by solidifying himself in that starting lineup already.
I want you to go further than that, bro. Like, go back a few drafts. Like, think about it. Like, because this is not just the best steal of this draft. To me, he's almost like a historic level steal.
Sure. I mean, I think there's players that end up like, I consider the Paul George players or
right. The
Giannis players. I look at, Jokic.
Right.
He's another player that slips in the draft. There's players like that every, I say there's a few players every generation that do that.
Right, but they always take time.
Yes. Yes and no. I mean, yes and no. Like, sometimes you see their abilities right away.
Right.
Like, what J-Dub has. Like, J-Dub came into the game, into the league, and obviously he wasn't going in there as a starter. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But he's taken over that starting position. And to the point where we're all sitting here saying J-Dub can play the 4 when Chet comes back. So J-Dub's taken it up a whole new level. And what they're teaching in Santa Clara, in my opinion, is baller. And if you're watching what Santa Clara is doing right now, and, man, they got this young guy right now. Bro, he is balling out there in Santa Clara. And I get excited because now we have a player like J-Dub that has a following – that a cult following from Santa Clara. And it's fun to see how these guys are all coming and starting to play well. And Santa Clara has a long ways to go, but the future looks really bright. And one of the reasons it's going to be very bright is because J-Dub brought that school to a whole new level.
Right.
And what we're seeing him put on the court is just going to make it more emphatic that people need to go to Santa Clara. People need to go to Gonzaga. People need to go to these smaller schools and pick out these players.
Dude, Jalen Williams versus Paul George rookie year. Paul George was picked number 6, and he averaged in the range of 8 points per game his rookie year. Now, obviously, every player takes their own trajectory. But my point is,
sure,
a player picked at number 12, right, who comes into a team like the Thunder, gets all this opportunity. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing that we have to take in respect. Like, he's leading the NBA in dunks for guards. Okay? That's why it's kind of like this is not like a normal situation for us. Like, we have to like say he's on his own path, right? And then you say, okay, those 4 steals on defense. They didn't count one block that was, to me, like a spike. I don't know what the hell. Was that a lob that he blocked from Trae Young and they gave him a steal? Like, I don't.
Bro.
Dude. Or maybe it was Murray.
He had two blocks that they did not count as blocks.
I mean, I don't know. But
they call it deflections, I think.
Dude, and look, the game, there are moments you can look at it, and it was just like 77-77 at halftime, bro. I mean, like, so there's so many things that happened in the game. But
we were down.
Yeah.
We were down 12 with 6 minutes to go.
15
like,
in the fourth quarter, dude. And like, and if J-Dub had, like, he made that great break at the end. The 2 points wouldn't have mattered, but it would have cut the game to 1 with like a second left. But we wouldn't have been able to tie it, right? But
yeah,
he missed the layup, right? But like, yeah, we were down 15 in the fourth quarter, and it was basically a 1-point game. But it was 1 point with 1 second left. It's over. But
yeah,
that came from J-Dub. Not just him, but the way he was pressuring the ball. I love seeing Bazley get so many minutes in critical times. He's doing all the right things. He's making the right decisions, and he's shooting the ball when he should. And one big-time foul, and one at the right moment for him. But like, yeah, dude, like, we want to win these games probably more than, like, anybody, but we can't say that every loss is bad and every win is good. There's so many good things that happen in losses. These are massive steps. And now coach has everybody's attention. And he says, we have to defend better earlier. Like, we became disruptive, but it takes us a while to get used to the flow of the game and how the team is playing and what they're trying to do. Once you do that, though, then you can disrupt. We have to assert our will earlier. And when we do, we're fine. But that's part of a young team. But here's the thing. They don't know how good they can be. They don't know. They believe they're getting a little bit better. And they're going to win more games. That's it. I believe that this team is actually showing that they are capable of winning a playoff series. This type of game, if we stopped our improvement now, then it'd be like, oh, obviously we're not ready to win a playoff series. But if we continue to get better and better and better and better, like defending without fouling, making sure that we finish at the basket earlier and defend at a higher level earlier, we're going to win a playoff series with this team sooner than people think.
Yeah, and I wanted to see Trey Mann, Isaiah Joe, and Andrew or Aaron Wiggins play more last night. But
Aaron Wiggins played great, bro.
Yeah, and but the way that the Atlanta Hawks played against us, bro, that's what Coach D had to go with, you know? Like, he tried to go up the matchup to get these guys out there, Isaiah Joe, Trey Mann, and Aaron Wiggins. But what happened was, is, I mean, Atlanta's coach isn't a chump. You know what I'm saying? He knows the game, and he went big when we did that. And it null and voided having guys like Isaiah Joe out there. And I get it. The shooting we could have used. But 132 points, man. 132 points. It wasn't the shooting that was the issue last night. It was our defense. We gave up 137 points. Mm-hmm. And we can say, oh, well, this isn't it. No, listen, we're a very positive podcast here. But when you give up 137 points, your defense was in need.
It's very hard to win.
Yeah. And Atlanta shot the ball well. They hit the shots that they were open. I mean, they shot 37% from three-point range. They did what they needed to do. And I again, if I'm looking at one thing and one stat, I can't help but look at the free throws yet again. You know, they outshot us by, 17 free throws again?
And to be clear, we don't think that this is because the refs suck. They miss some calls, okay?
Sure.
But we're fundamentally making mistakes. And the refs are kind of catching us on it in a very tight whistle, but that's the playoff whistle. If you come down like this, even if they jump into you and you come down like this, it's a problem. You've got to stay straight up. You can't swing down. Look, they could have called more shit on the Hawks. But in the end...
Yeah, I mean, we shot, what, 11 free throws last night?
I saw very few...
16. We hit 11.
I saw very few times, though, where they called fouls on us when I was like, that's not a foul. And to me, you have to look at what you can do better and recognize that in the playoff game, in an opposing team's arena... That's the whistle you get. So you have to be glad that you're getting it.
I'm just bringing it up, right? Because the last three games that we've lost.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Have come down to the free throw discrepancy.
But I just don't want people to like say, this is all the officials, you know?
No. I agree. And I think a lot of it has to do with respect for the team. Here's the thing about this team, though, is as the time's going, you're starting to see the refs respect the way that we you know, treat them, and we talk with them, and we don't yell, we don't showboat, we do nothing like that.
Yeah, the Hawks got two technicals, right?
What?
The Hawks got two technicals.
Dude, when's the last time we got a technical for arguing with the ref?
I think Coach
But that's it. Right. But that's his job. Yeah. You know, our players don't fuck around with that shit, man. Right. And that's the best part about the way we play out there is we're fundamentally sound, we're respectful how we play, we're hard-nosed, like... Everything else will come through, you know? Shea got 10 free throws last night. You know, if we had hit all 16 free throws, it was a different game. Like, to me, there's so many positives to what we're seeing with this team, and I just got to say, I'm proud of them. I look at each one of them, how they're getting to the hole, how they're finishing, and, you know, I wish I had seen Dort more in that fourth quarter. But on the same sense, is I only wanted to see him more in the fourth quarter because he shot so well from three-point range. I mean, he was 3-for-6 on three-pointers, and he looked good out there. And I was feeling the vibe that Dort was out there. He had three offensive rebounds and just all-out hustle, you know?
Yeah.
And you got Kenny Hustle playing out there, too. He had 9 points. I mean, all-out hustle. Dort had two steals too, but I know, dude, Kenny Hustle had so 9 points, seven assists, seven rebounds, which two of us were offensive. But let's talk about Kenny right here. Kenny's been playing that center position, and whenever he's out there, I feel like he's averaging six or more assists at that center position. Like, it's like Kenny was built for this small center position.
Oh, yeah.
And I've never seen a guy fit so perfectly in that. It's beautiful.
It's beautiful. Let's give Dort credit for something that didn't show up on the stat sheet. At the end of the first quarter, they roll the ball up, and Trae Young's walking the dog, as they call it. He picked up the ball, and then there's a screen, and Dort was immediately able to steal the 2-for-1, right? Now it's our ball with 36 seconds left, and we get the 2-for-1 because Dort's mastery of not just like letting him roll the ball up, like, but utilizing that to his advantage and getting the illegal screen. And then what happens? Shea goes in, gets an and one, right?
Yeah.
Or I think he got a bucket.
No, it was Trey Mann's monster jam and 30 seconds to go in the quarter.
It was
crazy,
right? So we got a bucket, and then Trey Mann gets a steal and gets a bucket, and then it's still 2-for-1. So we got a 3-for-1 because of this like incredible thing. So that was really, really special, man. Like, Dort,
and we scored 43 in that quarter too.
Oh my god, dude. It was like,
it was insane.
I know, and you got to give a lot of respect to the Hawks. As badly as we want to win this game and stuff, like I said it before going into the game in our pregame hangout, right? It was like they've lost two games, but before that they had won five games. So you knew that they were capable of good and bad ball. What were they going to come out here and do? And look, they played really good. Everybody,
you're right, man.
Like really felt like they made us pay. Like every single player out there was aggressive and stuff like that. And it was, when they play like that, they're a playoff team. But when they don't play like that, they're not. So we got a good team and we got a good approach. Like they have Trae Young out there, you know, showing off for his family, sitting front row, and good for him. Like I'm proud of him. Like I think we all should be in our whole state. We want the win, okay? But there's 82 games in this season. This one was just the Hawks game. Tip of the hat to the Hawks. Usman Jang, great to see him back out there playing, bro. Knocked down a three, got a dunk. crazy plus minus for him, which was nothing to do with him, but a negative 23. It had nothing to do with him. He only played 10 minutes, but it just shows you there was certain spurts that they made. And he happened to be on the court, but he was playing good, bro. Like, he is going to be just fine. We always say it, plus minus is overrated, and we don't really buy into it. But if you want to know when they went on a run, it was right
you
then.
Just look
bro.
At Usman Jang.
Right.
Like, dude, but I want to say this about...
go.
Good.
Go.
No, Bazley, man.
Yeah.
The 16 minutes, he led all bench players with 16 minutes last night. I feel like that was a big moment for him. His defense was great out there. He was efficient, 2-for-3 in field goals. This is what we want from Bazley when he's playing 16 minutes. Remember we talked about the other day when Bazley was out there and he shot like six shots in like the 4.5 minutes that he was out there? Like, those are not what we need from Bazley. We need a Bazley that goes out there, plays hard defense, and takes the open shots when he gets them. And that's exactly what he did last night.
Wasn't he in there in the closing lineup, bro? Like, he was. He was down the stretch, bro. Like,
he was in the fourth quarter a bunch.
Deep.
I know that.
Deep into the fourth. I think he played the closing lineup, bro. I think he's earned coach's respect because if you look at the way that he gets off the ball early, the way he defends all five positions, they put him on tough matchups. They put him on guards and stuff like that to disrupt things, just to give different looks. They're not going to do it all game, but he can help wear out a player by forcing him into different situations.
He doesn't need 25 minutes to do so either. You know, like that's the thing about it. Bazley could be very effective in that 15 to 20 minute range.
I'm so proud of Bazley, bro, because this change that he's made in his mentality is one of the hardest things to do. And like you've said so many times, he was the last pick of that Westbrook era where it was ISO everything. And now here we are and we're looking at him and he's conforming to what we need. Look, he still has to sign an extension. Like, we're not guaranteed we're going to keep him. But if this is how he plays, like, we're talking about playoff level defender. He needs more development.
And you need those.
You need them. You need them against Jamal Murray. You need them against Trae Young. You need to be able to put these people like different looks at different times of the game.
Yeah. Man, and let's be civil here. He's 22 years old. I mean, he's 22. So he's got the time.
He's the age of a rookie back in like our growing up days, right? Like,
yeah, like, I mean, Exactly. I'm not worried about with Bazley. He's going to figure it out. He's going to be all right. I feel good about it. I feel good about this team. I feel good about J-Dub last night. I mean, we talked about all the we didn't really talk about Josh Giddey. Josh Giddey had 16 points, 30 minutes. He took care of the ball. He had 2 steals, 6 assists, 8 rebounds, 2 of which were offensive. He was incredibly effective. 8 for 19.
Can I say something, bro?
Yeah.
I look at Thunderwire every day after games. Do you know what grade they gave Josh Giddey, bro?
I don't know. Probably something stupid.
I hate these player grades. They gave him a C.
What the fuck are they watching?
I don't understand it, bro. Look, I get the 8 for 19.
Dude, 16, 2 steals, 6 assists, 8 rebounds, 2 of which were offensive. Come on. Like, those are fucking phenomenal stats. I would give that an A to any other player in the NBA.
Dude, here's what happens, bro. If we lose, they think everybody loses a half a grade or something like that, right? Or at least a full grade.
Stop smoking crack, dude, guys. Come on.
It's bad, bro. Look, I get the 8 for 19 and being like, oh, he shot 42% from the field. That's not good. But, like, a couple of those were at the end of the game and he was being fouled. A couple of those were end of shot clock situations. Like, when he was in the game, the ball moved. And when he was out of the game, it still was moving, but it was missing that dynamic passer. The way that he forces defenses with his eyes and with, like, the cutting that's happening around him, like, the cutting's happening the whole time. He's not always taking advantage of it, but his eyes are. So he watches, he looks, and he sees them shifting. And it's like the fifth cutter. He realizes they're not prepared. Boom. Right? And it's like, he's a maestro. So stop grading him on this, like, oh, well, he shot 8 for 19. Like, the way that the team plays with him on the court versus without,
dude,
is so important.
Let's just be honest. Anybody that gives Josh a C for a game like this doesn't understand basketball or doesn't understand Josh's game, period. Like, I mean, like, I will go to battle for Josh every fucking time. Because when you look at it and what he's able to accomplish and the stats that he puts up there and what he does for this team, and it's not just the stats, it's everything across the board. Like, to give Josh a C when he puts up stats like this and just being like, well, I mean, he could have done better. Like, okay, you're right. He could have hit a couple more shots, okay, get 20 points. So he could have had 28, 6, and 2. Is that enough? Is that enough for you to give him an A? But for me, like, watching Giddey out there, watching how he's dominating on defense, watching how he's dominating on offense, it's like, that's what you got to do.
Yeah.
If you sit here and just look at the stats and you're saying, oh, well, 8 for 19, I'm going to give him a C, right? No. You have to watch the game. You have to watch the game. If you're going to sit there and critique a player, at least fucking watch the game.
That's your
before
job.
You critique the player.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. And then, of course, it's time. We haven't given him enough credit, but Shea, 13 for 22, 36 points, 1 of 1 from deep, 9 of 10 from the free throw line, 5 rebounds, 2 of those offensive, 7 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks. Bro. What the fuck, dude? And look, we're sitting here, and it's the last thing we mention is that Shea scored 36 points. Why? Because he is the motherfucking MVP.
MVP, baby. 36 points in 36 minutes, man. Unbelievable, bro. Like, what he's doing for this Thunder team is truly special. And I like it. There's somebody that watched the interview the other day. I don't remember where it was. I think it was one of our subscribers that mentioned it, but said, listen to Shea's after the interviews. The interviews after the game. Mm-hmm. Just watch him. Mm-hmm. Listen to him. Someone's like, he sounds like Kobe. I'm like, So I went back and listened to some Kobe interviews after game. And the way that Shea breaks down the game, the way that he explains it, I'm telling you guys, all right? He sounds like fucking Kobe. The way he prepares is whole next level. The way he understands the game, the way that he's going about. He is going to be that type of player that everybody looks at, like Kobe, as saying one of the best generational players ever. And I think when we are all sitting down and we're all able to truly, you know, look at this and people ask all the time, like, how are the Thunder going to be able to keep this together? How are they going to have all these players that can, you know, average 20 plus points a game? Well, look what Coach D does. All right. He plays everybody. He makes sure everybody gets playing time. He makes sure that these guys have breaks. So if you're looking at J-Dub and saying, can he average 20 points a game, as well as Shea averaging 30 points a game and Josh Giddey averaging 20 and then throwing Chet in there averaging 15, I say, hell yeah, we can. Every fucking game. Because this team is so much in sync that you don't need somebody that's taking 40 shots in the game. You don't need somebody that's taking more than 20 shots in the game, 25 shots in the game. That's perfect. And you can have three of those, four of those guys because of the way that we shoot the ball. I mean, we shot the ball or had 102 shots last night, guys. You know, 102 shots last night. This is exactly what we need from this team. You know, this is exactly what we need. We need to keep this up tempo. We need to keep this driving. We need to keep the shots going. This team is going to be next level. And I get excited because J-Dub and what he did and Shea did and Dort did and Josh did and Kenny Hustle did last night was spectacular. And I have to say, like, a lot of people didn't even give the Thunder a chance when they looked at it and said, oh, well, Clint Capella and Collins. Well, guess what? Clint Capella and Collins, yeah, they got their double-double. But they weren't the ones that beat us, period. You know, and I'm going to say this from now on. When everybody says, oh, well, we need a big man, okay? I understand you. I respect you. But stop putting Coach D in a box because we obviously, it could help to have a big man, yes. And we will have a big man soon, yes. But look at what Coach D has done in the month of January with no big man. And I have to say, that's when we have to stop back and say, what else can Coach D do? Please teach us.
I bet when you said D in a box, I was like, everybody's got to be thinking about Dick in a box out there, bro. Listen, yes, dang dude. Him. I heard, did you
get in that powder box? You know what I'm saying?
Listen, man, when you get a chance, everybody take some time to listen to the post game interviews from this last game. They're on YouTube. Everybody should be watching those. But this is, I think yesterday was the third anniversary of Kobe's death. So I couldn't quite hear the question clearly. So, like, that was something that people were, like, one of the reporters was asking all the players, Shea and Giddey and J-Dub. And if you just listen to what they have to say, like, it's clear that all of these guys on our team were incredibly inspired by Kobe. Like, the way that Kobe's generation was inspired by Michael Jordan is that's how large of a looming impact Kobe has over that. So
and I want to throw in there, you know, I spent my entire life hating Kobe, right?
Well, you know, that's what you do when you're on a different team.
I did not like Kobe until his last few years of playing, when I was starting to respect his game way more and understand way more what he was capable of doing. And that game that he dropped 60 in his final game after he tore his Achilles heel, like, there's very few times in my lifetime that I've been emotionally, like, touched like that. You know, like, I literally, they go, Kobe goes, Mamba out, right? And then walked off the court, and I literally went and bought the t-shirt that said Mamba out. Like, because it was that moment that I wanted to hold on to forever, not knowing that 3 years ago that Kobe was going to die. And I'll never forget, like, even me not liking him for as many years as I did, and then all of a sudden, learning to respect him and love his game and watching his game, I cried. I mean, I was beyond, like, crushed. I mean, for so many reasons. I mean, yes, you know, the fact that his daughter died with him, but the fact that I never got a true chance to see what Kobe could do after basketball, like Michael, like Shaq, like these other amazing guys that have had incredible careers making hundreds of millions of dollars after. Like, Kobe was going to crush everybody else.
I mean, dude, he'd already got...
I was just waiting
for him. He'd already won an Oscar for his animated series.
Kobe was going to change the world. And that's the thing that everybody else missed out on, is that Kobe's after basketball was going to change the world, and we all missed out on it. And I think that's what, you know, it really moves everybody because of it.
Well, that's all we got to say, man. Obviously, we appreciate you for taking the time to join us. And
all the comments, guys.
Yeah, all the love.
Damn.
It's fun.
Seriously, like, look at, guys, go and look at all of our comments, guys. Have you guys ever seen stuff like this before? It is truly spectacular. I've never felt so honored.
It goes a long time.
It's amazing, guys.
Hey, we love you guys, and we will see you soon. Thunder up.
Yes.